Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know Him and to make Him known. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church so you can find out more about how we are helping to make and grow disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in today's message from God's Word.
All right. Let's give our Lord our applause. And thank you, Caleb and Steve, for those testimonies and words of advice and some good stuff. Well, this morning, I want to continue on our Family Matters series that we're doing. And family does matter, amen? Our society is built upon family. Strong families equal a strong church. Strong families equal a strong nation. And if there's been a time just in the last 30, 40 years, but it's been longer than that, but we've seen an attack upon our families, an attack upon marriage, an attack upon morals and values in which the Bible is clear about. There's been an attack. And so why do we do a series like this? Because the family matters to God. And the family was God's idea, not ours. It was His idea. It was something that He wanted. Marriage was His idea. And so in a family, parents are a child's escort through life. And we get 18 years approximately, and I realize we don't stop being a parent and loving our child after 18 years, but we get 18 years. And the children, our children are given to us. They become young men, young women, and then they're off to eventually start their own lives, to start their own family. Well, we get 18 years. It's not long, is it? It's not. And some of the parents here are as their child walked up here on stage and watched their child graduate from college, they not only just saw a young man or a young woman, but they also saw their baby the first time they held him in their arms, right? You can think of your children, your grandchildren, the first time you held them and how they were small and they were little. But God has given them to us to escort through life, just as police would escort someone important or a traveler through traffic, and as they would escort them. Same here with us as parents. We have a responsibility to our children to guide them. You see, our family, it is a gift from God. Our children are a gift from God. And if our family is a gift from God, we should take the responsibility serious. Family matters, and it matters to God. You see, as parents as well in our families, not only are we escorts, but we're filters. We are. We're filters. Maybe you as mom and dads don't think of yourself as filter, but just as a water filter would filter any impurities that would come into our drinking water, so as parents, our moms and dads for the family, to filter out, to protect their children so that as they grow, that they grow in the Lord, that they learn the things of God. And there are many, anymore today, there are even more things that need to be filtered out. There is, from morals, from marriage, to what the many different things that are on the internet in which our children can get into, the things that are on TV that our children can get into, some of the things they are taught in school that can get into their minds. We're to be filters. We are. You see, on average, each year, parents get about 3,000 hours a year with their child. 3,000. The school gets 1,200 hours a year with their child. The church gets about 70. And don't get me wrong, the church is important in the life of your family, in the life of your child. But one thing I saw when I was in student ministry for 6 years is that normally, a high percentage of the time, if the parents were in church, that child stayed in church. If the parents were somewhat faithful, came here and there, missed quite a bit, guess what? How the child ended up going to church. They either didn't go at all or they went sporadically just as their parents did. If their parents went Christmas and just Easter, then their child followed the same. You see, more is caught than taught. Amen? They catch more by watching and listening and seeing what we do. And so they're going to follow that examples. And so as escorts for our children, as filters for our family, it is imperative that we as parents, that we are disciplined in our walk with the Lord, that we are disciplined in our parenting along with disciplining our children. Being a parent, it's not easy. Heard a quote this week. Being a parent's not easy. It's hard. It's a sacrifice. But this was a quote. Culture says don't marry. Culture says don't have kids. Don't join anything. You need to preserve your freedom. Let me tell you something. I will sacrifice freedom for family any day. Family is important. Amen? That's something I'm willing to sacrifice any day. There's sayings, you know, you ever think to yourself, man, what did my wife and I, what did we do before we had kids? Whatever you wanted, right? Whatever you wanted. And did you watch, you know, Dora the Explorer before you had kids? Well, I hope not. If not, you got some issues. You have some real issues. Did you watch all the, well, you might watch Cars. I've watched Cars more than I care to admit. I've watched certain things that I'm like, I just can't handle it. I got to get up and walk away for a moment. There's cartoons. Anyone ever remember, was it called the Wiggles? Is that what it was called? Fruit salad. Yeah. Tell me, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, now you're going to be thinking that the rest of the day. Fruit salad, yeah, or something like that. I don't remember. So it was rough. My daughter loved that. We didn't show that to the boys. We left that out. But to this morning, though, in this Family Matters, I want to talk about discipline. Now, I realize when we hear the word discipline, that might bring something back negative. But the Bible says this, that whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. It also means, in some versions of the Bible, to chastise. Now, oh, man, I'm sure every one of us got up this morning and go, man, God loves me. I hope he chastises me here this morning. I hope I get disciplined this morning. But really, the idea of that chasten or that chastise is a way to encourage. It can mean that. It also can mean a way of getting on, but it also can mean a way of training. God knows that we need discipline in our life. He knows that we need training, because if not, we're not going to be ready for what his will for our life is. We need discipline, and our children need discipline as well. Here's number one that I want to show you here this morning, is discipline is correction driven by love. It is. Discipline is correction driven by love. That's how God operates with us, and God wants us to operate that way with our children. It is correction, not because we are powerful parents, but it's because our heart is driven by love for our children. Scripture says this in Hebrews 12. This is what it says. It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. In other words, you need to take it serious. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. He loves. And then also we're told in Proverbs 19, discipline your son, for in that there is hope. And do not be willing party to his death. You can see just here in Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be willing party to his death. What is he saying? No discipline equals death. It equals death. Now that could mean something. It could mean death in relationships. It could mean death in a career. It could mean as far as their future goes. It can mean a lot of different things. It is not good. We need discipline. And parents, we need to understand, there's a major battle always going on in our homes. And it's a battle for control. It is. If I had to say something to those graduating, is this, that one day you will meet a special someone that God wants for you in your life, and you're going to get married. You're going to have children. That could be 2, 3. Parents are like, no, make it longer. 5, 10, 20, I don't know. But you'll have children. And there is a battle going to go on in your home for who leads it. My son, youngest son, is 5. He just turned 5. And he is a little tornado. And something that, and he is competitive. He gets it probably from his mother. He is competitive. And the thing he asks all the time is, Dad, who's the boss? And I'm like, why do you keep asking this? But it finally dawned on me. And I have to tell him, you know, Daddy and Mommy are the boss. But he wants to see if I include Mom. He does. He wants to see if, Dad, I know you're the boss, but is Mom the boss? Or if you two aren't here, who's the boss? He wants to be the boss. He's watched too much of that show Boss Baby, I think. Have you seen that? Man, that kid. Now, if he could do business like that, that'd be great. But maybe you find yourself in your home constantly nagging or yelling and bribing and threatening. Let me say, if that's the case in your home, you are losing the battle for your home. And as moms and dads, we are called to lead our children. I realize it is not easy. It is difficult negotiating because you can't with a 4 or 5-year-old. There's some days you're like, just watch TV for like 10 minutes or something and leave me alone. We all have been there. It'll drive you insane at times. There's some of you right now that you don't have kids in your home. You're like, I'm glad that's not me. We need your prayers. But maybe you think to yourself, I don't want to discipline my kids because I don't want to be mean to my kids. But see, that's not the purpose of discipline. The purpose of discipline is because you love your children. Years ago, I heard someone say, I just want to be my kid's friend. I almost smacked them. I didn't. Listen, you're not called to be your child's friend. You're called to be their parent. You're called to be their mama. You're called to be their daddy. You're called to lead your house. When they become an adult, you can be their friend, but as a child, they need led by you. You're not always going to be the good guy. You're not always going to be that good guy, so to speak. And here's the other thing. Don't make your spouse out to be the bad guy either. I think maybe every couple at one point or time has done that. Not intentionally. You learn, amen? You learn there's certain things you should not do. And I tell you, that's one of the things you don't want to do is make your spouse out to be the bad guy. We may not do it intentionally, but it teaches the child that you and your spouse are not unified. And children are like lions seeking in which parent to devour. You know it's true. They are. Ooh, disunity, boom. And they will play you, won't they? They will play you. They will play you to get the answer in which they want, in which they want to hear. I want you to know this. Discipline isn't something you do to your child. It's something that you do for your child. Let's say that again. Discipline isn't something you do to your child, but for your child. Zig Ziglar said this. He said, a child who has not been disciplined with love in their little world will be disciplined without love in the great big world. Amen? That is true. It's true. The world is a rough place, and in our home it needs to be that loving place in which they experience the discipline. Someone said, don't allow your child's sin nature to determine their future. Instruct, correct, rebuke. A child should be under loving authority. And I tell you, as a parent, there will be times in which maybe we are undisciplined. And I don't know where you're at. And I think as a father, you realize that maybe there are certain ages that you do better with than other ages. You also realize that as your children grow, that you don't treat a 13-year-old the same way you do a 5-year-old. Those are obvious. But as they grow, you realize that there can be times in your life as a parent or parents that you're undisciplined. And I want to give you a couple here. You see, here's some, and I think in our lives as parents, we tend to lean towards one of these. Because, listen, we are big sinners trying to raise little sinners, amen? And we need God's help to raise them. We need God's help in this. We need him in the midst of our families, because without him, we just make a mess of it. We need his instruction. We need his guidance. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. Here's number one, undisciplined parents. One is lifeguard parents. They often rescue a child from consequences. Now, this is what Scripture says. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man sows, he reaps what he sows. We've heard it. What goes around comes around. We've heard that. It comes from Scripture. What you plant will grow. You're going to lie in the bed that you made, right? I mean, we've heard those things. There's a system which God has set up that we reap what we sow. And so when it comes to consequences, this is what ends up happening. You see, and children, when they have something that whether they've ignored or they've come to rely on you rescuing them every single time they don't plan or they mess up. Now, I might realize you're there for your child. You're there to help your child by all means. But if we just swoop in every time and take the consequence away, our children will never learn the lessons in which they need. For example, let's say your child has this huge science project that's due the next day, and you didn't hear about it until that night at 9 o'clock. You're resting. You're watching TV. And they come in, with their head down in their book, and they come and go, Dad, yeah, shouldn't you be in bed? Yeah, I have this project due tomorrow. Okay, what is it? And you realize it's going to take, like, forever to complete it, and you don't want to deal with it. Now, I'm not saying don't help your child, but you have a decision to make at that point in time that they have neglected. They have heard about it, and they've heard about it for a month probably, for weeks, and they decide at the last minute. It may be that the greatest lesson you get to teach your child is that they get an F. It's not the worst thing in the world for your child to get a failing grade. It'll teach them a lesson that they need to prep, that they need to prepare, that mom and dad's not going to be able to rescue them for every single time they do not plan accordingly. Our children need our help by all means. But if we swoop in and rescue them every single time from the consequences, they're going to grow to a point, and guess what? They're going to stay with you because every single time you rescue them. They need to be taught that discipline. So we have lifeguard parents. We all have the Etch-a-Sketch parents. Who are these? They're often inconsistent. Now, I want to make sure, and I got to explain this because in our tablet and smartphone age, not everyone may know what an Etch-a-Sketch is. Anyone, you don't know what an Etch-a-Sketch is? Many people know what it is, but if you don't know what it is, we're going to buy you one. It'll be free. And anyway, but it's basically has two white knobs. It's red, and you can make your own design. And then what do you do when you're done? You shake it. So if you don't know what it is, well, I should have put a picture up here. Someone may not know what an Etch-a-Sketch is, but I had one as a kid. Anyone have one as a kid? Yeah. Yeah. In Georgia, they use them as computer screens. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that's what I heard. I don't know. It's about the size of a Bible. But a lot of maybe in our homes, what happens is we don't have consistent instructions, consistent rules in our home, and we all need those. There has to be some structure in our homes, or else what happens is children want the structure of discipline. They do. And if we're always erasing the lines and moving the lines, and they don't know where that line is at, it makes it tough. It makes it tough to have discipline because we end up being the inconsistent parent. They wonder, where are the boundaries? Where are the lines? And if we're always moving them, they're not going to know where they're at. Proverbs tells us this. The The rod of correction imparts wisdom. A child left to himself disgraces his mother. Discipline your son and he will give you peace and he will bring to your soul. To discipline your son. Discipline, it will give you peace. Notice scripture doesn't say discipline them today and not tomorrow. Have one line here, then the next day shake it up and then change it. But notice something. It says the rod of correction imparts wisdom. It imparts wisdom. They need to know where the lines are at. Discipline in the home. And listen, mom and dad, it could be that you're that a parent, and there needs to be some clear lines, clear boundaries of what are set up in your home. Here's also the third one, the split decision parents, often ununified. Amos says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? See, one of the most important things we can do as parents is agree to keep a unified stance in front of our children. If there's a disagreement, then we need to have that conversation behind doors. But as far as in front of our children, we need to be unified. You take blended families, for example. Things can get a little crazy in blended families, can't they? And sometimes in blended families, it could go kind of go like this. You bring children into the marriage, and you're bringing a family, and you're blending them. And sometimes it can be the mentality, well, you have your kids, I have my kids. And so, no. When you get married, two become one flesh. It is your children. You need to be on a unified stance on on the boundaries, on the instructions in which God has for you. Unified, together. Because it will show weakness in your home, and kids will do just that. They will try to get right in there, and if they see that you're not unified, they will try sometimes to pit parents against one another. Well, mom would do this for me, but you're not doing that. Or dad's going to do this for me, and you're not doing that. And suddenly, you have in one house where someone is allowed to do something, and in another house, someone's allowed to do something else, and then things just get a little crazy. My recommendation for this, and that's not always easy, because you may have one family that does not want to be unified, and that's tough. That's hard. And I'm not going to pretend I have all that figured out, praying for you, thinking of you. But as much as possible, be unified for the sake of your children. See, when it comes to being a parent, when it comes to having expectations, there's some things that we need to expect as parents. Here's the first one. We expect first time and cheerful obedience. Colossians tells us this. It says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. It pleases God. Scripture does not say obey your mom and dad after they say, cut that out, stop that, I'm going to stop this car, that's the third, that's the fourth. One, two, two and a half, three. You know what I'm saying, right? You know what I'm saying. And you get to a point where you're not in control anymore. You're just negotiating with them. And you can't. You can't. You can't negotiate with five-year-olds. You can't negotiate with 10-year-olds. But we should demand first time obedience. Just as God expects it from us, we expect it from our children. And not only do we expect outward obedience, we expect inward obedience as well. Scripture says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Oh man, I just gave some of you parents a great verse. I'm going to say it again. That's a good one. Do everything without complaining or arguing. I think I'm going to have my kids memorize this. Amen. I think that's a good one. Maybe it's just my kids. Here's another recommendation. Discipline more for attitude than actions. Discipline more for attitude than actions. Our children, they're going to mess up, amen? But we know by their attitude. We know by their attitude if it was an honest mistake or something they did on purpose or something because they were being lazy. Discipline more for attitude rather than actions. Here's number two. We agree never to discipline in anger. Ephesians tells us this. It says, in your anger, do not sin. The Bible nowhere says never be angry. It doesn't say that. It says, be angry and sin not, is what it says. And so God gave us that emotion of anger for a reason, right? I mean, he gave it to us, but with our kids, Let me tell you something. We can do and say some things that we would normally not say in our anger. Don't discipline in your anger. You know, Scripture speaks about imparting wisdom, so to speak, about using the paddle, about discipline. Now, I realize that different actions, there's different consequences for our child's actions or disobedience. There's times where they need a timeout. There's times where they need something taken away. But let me tell you what, there's times they just need the good old attitude adjuster paddle. That's what we have in our home. We have this thing, it's called the attitude adjuster. We bought it in St. Augustine at the old schoolhouse, the oldest wooden schoolhouse in America. It's there, you can buy them. That's my recommendation, and it hangs on our wall. Listen, I think part of what's wrong with America is there's never sometimes physical godly discipline the way it should be given. Amen? I mean, maybe you don't spank your child, and maybe some parents are going to get angry at me for saying it, but let me tell you something. I got the belt and I got the paddle as a kid, and I deserved every single one of them, every single one of them. And it did me some good. It did me some good. In fact, Scripture backs this. Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Proverbs 13:24, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Proverbs 22, a youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far away. I tell you, one of the worst things I just hated is you ever have to cut your own switch? I mean, that right there enough is to make you not want to do whatever you did to deserve that anymore. And I remember as a kid of having to go cut my own switch. Woo! And I enjoyed breaking those things when my parents were not looking as well. But not all discipline needs a paddle, but physical discipline, it imparts wisdom. Why? Because a little bit of pain is a good teacher. It is. It is. And so don't spank them in public. Children may misbehave in public. Most of the time, mine are pretty good. But you know, there's times in public where they just love to try to get you. They love to try to get you. And if you're going to discipline them, make it known that when we get home, we'll address this in the right way. But let me tell you, if you don't, guess what's going to happen the next time you're out publicly? They're not going to believe a word in which you say. So if you're going to discipline them and you've said you're going to discipline them for their actions, make sure that you do. Here's number three. We will discipline promptly with instruction and reconciliation. Ephesians 6 says this, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Our children need to know which and which they did wrong. Now, I realize some of it is obvious. They know, preacher, they know what they did wrong. They know what they, yeah, you might be right. But there are times in which they may not know. It also may be a time in which you sit them down and ask them, not just what they did wrong, but how can you handle it different next time? To give them instruction from you. You see, once they admit that, they can get this instruction. They can hopefully, Lord willing, make the right decision next time. You see, when we sit down with our children, if we're discipline our children, and one, don't do it in anger, discipline your child, sit down with them, and afterward, what I want to encourage you to do is this, is go to your child and tell them that you love them. Say, oh man, preacher, I don't know about that. No, go tell them that you love them, and that you don't like disciplining them, but you do it because you love them and you want to see them do right. Because, listen, fathers, oftentimes our children, their view of God is going to be upon the way we treat our children, our child as fathers. They're going to view our Heavenly Father in a similar way. And so we can show them God's grace. We can show them how God gives instruction. We can show them how God loves us even when we mess up, even when we may end up tasting the consequences of our decisions, that God still loves us. He's still there for us. And he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Church, pray. Pray for our families. Pray for our communities. They are under attack. They're under attack. And there's not in this building today, there's not one perfect parent, is there? If there is, we'd love to hear from you. Not a one of us. My wife and I, we're not perfect parents. We don't always make the right decisions. But we try. We try. And we want our children to grow up. My greatest prayer is not that my child grows up to be this, that, or the other. My greatest prayer for my children is they grow up and they love God with all their heart, their soul, and mind. And if your child grows up and does that, and has done that, if they work fast food the rest of their lives, but they love God with all their heart, soul, and mind, mom and dad's mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. And that's the greatest gift in which you can give them. Let's pray. Father, our children are a gift from you to us.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. To find out more about Southside Baptist and our ministry, visit our website at southsidenow.church. Until we meet again, have a great week.